Oh my. Wow. Aren't you wowed by God again? What God is able to do, it's amazing with that. And I am so thankful. I have been blessed as a pastor. I pastored 35 years. I was never in a church where if somebody was brought through that, they weren't loved as much as ever. Maybe even more so. It's such a testimony of the grace of God. He takes my feet and he sets me upon the high places. You know, there is no valley so deep that God's love can't reach deeper still. Oh, to know the height, the width, the breadth, to know the love of God that passes our knowledge, that he can love us no matter what. There are 7 billion people on this planet. Most of us are lucky to love our family. But God loves all 7 billion of us. And you know, there are people that they say, man, only a mother could love. Such as Jeff. But you know, God's love reaches to the very depths of anything that we could ever be through. I read a book one time called Where Flies Don't Land. My grandpa was a dairy farmer. There was lots of this stuff for laying on the ground from these cows. And I know where flies will land. This guy wrote a book. He was put into solitary confinement. He was so bad, he couldn't even be with the rest of the prisoners. And a prison chaplain came by one day to his door, told him the love of God. And God saved the man. And he wrote a book about how bad he was. He said, flies won't even land on me. And flies will land anywhere, my friend. But God saved him and God brought him out. The intense love of God, to understand that. Paul said, oh, to understand the height, the breadth, the depth, the width of the love of God that passes knowledge. My friends, if you knew how much God loved you, you would not. I told you one time when I was pastoring, I was sitting there looking at my congregation on a day like any other Sunday morning, you know. And for some reason, God blessed me with a glimpse and with a sense of his intense love for every person sitting in front of me. And I don't have, like you said, Paul said, it passes knowledge. I ain't even got words to tell you because there are no words to tell you the love that God has for each and every one of you. He cares for you. My grandma had 18 kids. Well, actually, my grandpa had 4 kids and his wife died. Maybe my grandma had 14 more, 18 kids. Yeah, he just, if one of them died, he wouldn't carry at 18. No. No. When one leaves, Jesus told the story of the sheep. 100. One of them goes. He leaves the 99. Leaves everything behind. And he goes after the one. He's not going to lose one. He does it with God's heart. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to everlasting life, all of us. And he cut it down to 10. Samiti, the woman that lost one of the 10 coins that she had that was part of her engagement, and she lost it. She said, I got 9 more. No, she didn't. She said, this thing's only complete with 10. And she tore her house apart, man. She looked every nook, every cranny, every corner she could find, because one of those, it wasn't complete unless all 10 of them were there. And she searched until she found it and she put it in. Then God said, a man had 2 sons. And one of them came to his daddy and said, Dad, I'm kind of tired of you. I don't want to be under your oversight anymore. I'm going to go do what I want to do. And he went away, Jeff. He spent his living on stuff that was definitely not godly. And he pined away to almost nothing. But his dad stood at the door every day looking down the road waiting for that one to just... Every day he looked. He'd go around his business and every time he passed, he looked down the road to that far country longing for his son to come home. He looked. His heart broke. And he went out. His son wasted everything. He almost got to the point of death. He would eat pig food. He was just wasting away nothing. And he said, you know, he said, I'm kind of sick of this. He goes, I know my dad loves me. He goes, I'm not worthy though. He says, I will go back and I'll say, Daddy, I don't even want to be your son. You don't have to take me as a son. I know I'm not worthy anymore. He said, but he said, what you can do, he says, just let me be a servant. Because even servants are better off than I am over in this junky world. His dad, he didn't even get the words out of his mouth. And his dad put his arms around him. My son is home. I love you. He said, kill the fatted calf, bring forth the best robe, put a ring on his finger. He said, let's celebrate because my son was dead and he's alive. He's home again. Oh, the love of God that passes knowledge. And then he had a stinking brother sitting over there complaining. Church, if you complain about anything that Jeff said, about anything that any lost person said, let's come back to God. Bend over, let me kick you a good one. I'll be glad to. These are size 13s too. I'm telling you, this is God's place, and God came to seek and save that is lost. He came to seek, to go after, and to save that is lost. That is the call of God. You know what the last thing Jesus did before he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. He brought a thief on the cross into the kingdom of God. He looked over at him and he said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. He said, Father, this is good. This is why I'm nailed to this thing. That's why I came here. Oh, man, can you imagine the joy in Jesus' heart? When he's up there on the cross. He had been in the Garden of Gethsemane. I was going to preach on that, but I ain't going to, so forget that. But anyway, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he fought the battle. Not my will, thy will be done. God, I don't want to go to that stinking cross. I don't want to bear the sins of this world. Just let him go. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be tortured. I don't want to have all that happen to me. But he said, God, if there's another way, let's do it. But God says, son, you're Jesus, Jehovah. Jehovah saves. That's what you're here for. You're here to save this mess. You're here to save these people. He said, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done. And then he went to the cross. And the last thing he does, this guy looks and says, hey, remember me when you get into your kingdom. Jesus said, yes, today you will be with me in paradise. Today I will take you back into the family. Today you are mine. And it just put an exclamation point at the end of the crucifixion. When Jesus did that, he says, Father, let's get on with this. Into your hands I commit my spirit. It is finished. That's what he came to do, was to say, seek and save the lost. If you're broken, if you're hurt, Eric wanted me to just share, you know, if you're bruised. We read the year of Jubilee and we read all the great parts about it where the Lord said, you know, the Lord restores back everything that you've had lost, you know, and the year of Jubilee, every 50 years, he gives it all back and we read all that's great, you know, and everything's restored. But then one thing he said in there too, he says he sets at liberty those that are bruised. That's part of the year of Jubilee. Jeff was bruised, man. And sometimes you're bruised so deep you can't even move. When I played football at Murray State, like I told you before, I was a defensive back and I had to cover all them fast guys. And I was kind of fast, but I wasn't that fast. I had to take every pad out of my, I had to get every advantage I could. I just wore shoulder pads. That was the only pads I had on my body. Every once in a while, one of them I took out because I needed all the break I could get. And one time a guy hit me right here with his helmet right in my thigh. Oh, dear Lord. That was our last spring game. Actually, it was in a spring game, our last game. I tried to drive home. By the time I got home, my leg wouldn't move. I couldn't even drive the car. And I was bruised so deep I couldn't walk over the Christmas break. I mean, over spring break when I was home. I couldn't even walk. And I was so bruised I couldn't move anymore. I was hurt so bad. I was bruised so deeply. My pain was so deep. But you know, God spoke to me during that. After that started getting better, and I could start moving again, and I felt free again. God says, I will set at liberty those that are bruised. Life will kick you sometimes so hard, and you will be bruised so deep. But God will set at liberty. He will free those that are bruised. I told you, man, what I've been through. I've lost 2 kids. I lost my money. Lost my job. Lost my wife. Oh, dear Lord, you talk about bruised. My heart has been broken and stepped on and spit on and everything else under the world that you can possibly think of. But you know, God has set me free. And he whom the Son has set free, he's free indeed. You know, I'm hurt, but I'm not bound. You know, I'm cast down, but I'm not destroyed. You know, I've had my issues. I've had the things that I've went through. And you know what? God has taken that and God has twisted it around. It's like I told you the other night. I love Romans 8:28 that says, and now we know that all things work together for good. Doesn't say they're good. It says they will work together for good to those that love God, to those that are called according to his purpose. If you love God, that means you're obedient to God and you've walked to God's purpose. I don't care what the devil throws at you. It's going to turn into good. Look what God did here with these two. Amen. Amen. God's got the Midas touch, man. Everything he touches turns to gold. And God will do that in your life. It's like I said, I translate that scripture as this. Life hands you lemons. What do? You make lemonade. You put God in it. You set up a lemonade stand. Daryl's lemonade stand, 25 cents. They come and drink the lemonade. You end up being rich. Sell it the lemonade. I'm a lemonade millionaire, I can tell you that. God has worked everything to my good. You know, I've lost 2 boys. Am I hurt? Yes, I'm hurt. Have I got through it? No. I mean, I've gotten through it. I haven't gotten over it. You never get over it. You just get through it. That's what God's done in my life, you know. Through the fire. Through the fire, you know. Through those dark times. Through everything. God is faithful. God is faithful. And he will, and I don't care what you've done. God will forgive. His forgiveness is wonderful. We're going to pray tonight for things that may be a challenge in your life. First of all, look at the person next to you and say, God loves you. Say, you got a face only a mother could love, but God loves you. You know, you may be so unlovable that your mom has to tie a stake on you to get the dog to play with you. I don't care where you're at, God loves you. God loves you. He will. This says, who comes to me, I will in no wise cast him out. You haven't done too much that God can't deal with it. You haven't done anything that the blood of Christ won't bring forgiveness to in your life. I love the sacrifice of Jesus. When he died on the cross, nothing happened accidentally. They put a crown of thorns on the head of Jesus, and the blood that came out was to cleanse the mind. And to cleanse all the things that may have hurt you mentally, emotionally. You know, the depression and the hurt and the pain that goes on in your head. That blood of Jesus cleansed that. In his hands, your hands speak of your deeds and what you've done. You may have done some bad things in your life, but the blood of Jesus that was shed from his hands will cleanse anything you've ever done. You may have went places you should never have been. You may have walked a path that God never wanted you to walk, but he had nails in his feet. To cleanse your walk. On his back, you may go through sicknesses and pain and whatever, but the Bible says, by those stripes you are healed. He had the spear in his side, and blood and water came forth. You know, you got stuff deep inside your spirit and inside your heart that are so unclean, but the blood of Jesus that was shed there cleanses your inner man and the inner spirit, your inner control system. The blood of Jesus will cleanse you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and everything in the middle. God loves you. I can't tell you how much. I wish I could, but you have to experience the love of God. How many people have experienced God's great love? Amen. Can somebody give me a wow? That's what I thought. Amen. Victory, come play some for us, sweetheart. Amen. Amen. Can we do Amazing Grace? Can we pull that off? like I told you the other day in my testimony, you know, I was a good kid. I was a good kid. And I always had a hard time imagining me being a wretch. I thought, I ain't no wretch. I'm not really good. But then when I came into the presence of God and through my life, I found out, man, I'm really stink. I'm really wretched. But you know what? That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Then once he saved me, I've been through many dangers and toils and snares. But I have already come. 'Twas grace that has brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. And when I've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, I'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when I first begun. I look forward to that day to see my loved ones, my best friend in the last place I pastored, died yesterday. He's up there with my boys and a lot of other. I don't know if heaven can handle him and my son, but I guess it can. But I'm looking so forward now, because there's coming a day, my friend, when all these light afflictions won't even be compared to the glory and the joy that's set before us. For that hand of God that hung the heavens out by the span of his hands and called the stars out by name, that hand that sat down in the sand when they were trying to stone that woman and he started writing in the sand probably all the sins they had committed. That hand of God will wipe away every tear from my eye. I'm not going to be crying anymore. My heart's not going to be broken anymore. No more sadness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sickness, no more death. But we shall be in the presence of God forever. How many of you want to be there? But you know what can't be in heaven? How many of you think this earth stinks pretty much? I've enjoyed my life and I've had so many blessings, but my friend, if this was heaven, some people, oh, I've had heaven on earth. Oh, no, you haven't. You haven't even thought what heaven is like yet. But, you know, sin's not going to get there. It would mess it all up again. God can't let your sin in because he wouldn't have to wipe tears away again. There would be death. There would be sorrow. There would be separation. There would be pain. There would be divorce. There'd be broken kids. There would be tears and drug addiction and everything else if God let sin in. I don't want to go through this again, my friends. So God says anything that defiles will not enter in. He says, God, I said, I love y'all, but I'm sorry, but I can't let this happen again. He said, I'll forgive you, and I went to the cross, and I'll forgive you for that. If you'll let me do it, then I'll cleanse you and put my righteousness on you, and you can come in, and we're going to have a new kingdom where in dwells righteousness, and we're going to have joy forevermore. But your sin can't come with you, so you need to get rid of it right now. You need to have God forgive you. So let's stand together, and we're going to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch. And I want to ask you something. Could you put an emphasis on wretch? You're no better than anybody else. Your sins are no better than any. You got the best and the worst of us. The worst and the best is the best of us behooves us to say nothing about the rest of us. So we're going to sing. And I want to tell you something. If you have never accepted the Lord in your life, you need to do that. You don't have to come to church 20 times. You don't have to do flip-flops. You don't have to do whatever. God didn't call. All God said is, believe in me that I did what I did, said I would do, and that I am who I said I am. And I will forgive you. That's it. He wrote and he says, don't say you got to climb to the mountains. Or don't say you got to ascend to the valleys or bring up a Savior. He says, what does the Word say? The Word says, believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he went to that cross for you, that he was raised from the dead, and you shall be saved. Just trust in what God, believe God for what he did for you and say, hey, I accept it. That's all he asks. And then he'll take you from there. If some of you, maybe tonight, you have secret addictions in your life, I'm going to have Jeff and Candy praying for you. Hey, don't feel ashamed about that. Say, my wife don't know about this. I can't do this tonight. Yes, you can do this tonight. Because tonight may be the first step in your walk to victory. You may have got pain in your life. You may have heartbreak. You may have hurt. But Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Preach recovery of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those that are bruised. Amen. Let's worship. Would our deacons or whoever come on up to pray too? Come on up, folks. If you need prayer for anything, if you're sick in body, come down for prayer. God's going to touch you. Amen. Let's worship.